If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the program. Hump Day Wednesday it is for our listeners and viewers in the UK, in Australia, and of course, East Coast USA as well. It is good to have you with us. Busy program today, and this is the Australian edition of TNT Radio, a full and comprehensive rundown of the biggest news from the Pacific region and the most controversial issues making the news. Now, first up, I'll be telling you about the sheer lucky dip court cases occurring in both Australia and New Zealand over the draconian vaccine mandates that dogged our communities during the pandemic. Plus, despite all the proof emerging about how shonky some of the COVID jabs were, medical professionals are still being punished. They're being punished this very week for expressing opinions about lockdowns and vaccinations. It is just criminal. Those periods of draconian measures thrust upon populations around the world have surely ended. And in particular, preventing and cancelling people for their opinions during COVID has got to end. Absolutely, just like vaccine mandates. We'll be hearing from the feisty communications expert, Prue McSween, this hour. And we'll hear what she thinks about a mammoth $925 million allocation to support women to leave home because of threats or evidence of domestic violence. This is probably the biggest component of any kind of domestic violence program we've ever seen rolled out by government in Australia. Is it a masterstroke? Most people are saying off the bat it sounds like it is, because women will get up to $5,000 to leave the home, to seek refuge, and to be provided with various counselling services. But could it also be and endanger more lives? Could it be the kind of thing that when you contact government to try and get access to this money, and you know how government is when it comes to grants and money, they take their time. What if the attacker actually determines what's going on? Would it endanger more lives? I think it's a discussion worth having. We've also got a discussion to have on the open slather powers being proposed for New South Wales Police to crack down on knife crime. I'm all for cracking down on knife crime. The number of stabbings we're seeing nowadays is just abhorrent. But this could be a step too far. We'll talk about that with Prue. And finally, a concession from the government's climate change guru, or should I say czar, about the fact that all of this demonisation of gas over the years by the Labor Party may have been detrimental. Yes, you see, you cannot go from shutting down coal-fired power stations and then just relying on wind and solar. We are years and years away from that, if at all. If at all. But what we can do is rely on the transition power source of gas, which, of course, the current government has been demonising for about 15 years. So we'll talk about all of that with Prue. I'll be catching up with Dr. Reuben Kirkham from the Free Speech Union today. I don't know whether you've been watching and reading their involvement in various protests and campaigns, but this mob is doing some wonderful work at the moment, ensuring that our protest about transgender ideology and misinformation bills are heard, and that there's legal support for change. We'll go through what campaigns they've been focusing on of late and what they intend to do about some of our freedom that seems to be taken away. And it's Cyber Wednesday, which means Alex Zaharoff-Reut is on deck today, and we're discussing, among many, many things, developments in the area of AI as it impacts the news that you consume. And the great holiday booking rort, how you're being ripped off and what to do to avoid it. That'll be handy. Plus, Alex is very happy to take your calls, by the way. A lot of people like to listen to what he's got to say about new software, new devices, aspects of AI, and all of those issues connected to technology and cyber. But if you've got a question about some kind of new software or new device that you've got your eye on or new technology, well, it's worth using his knowledge and using his free advice right here on our talkback lines to speak with Alex Zaharoff-Reut. And just in terms of talkback lines, we have three for you. One pertains to where you live. If you're living in America, so if you're living in the United States or Canada, 1-888-201-6425. We'll see you live to air. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. Come and tell us what you think. And from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. That is our number. It may not be a number you care to ring today, but write it down. Put it in your cell phone or your smartphone, and so you've got it forever. And so when the day comes that you really want to get something off your chest, you can do so. And that Australian number again, New Zealand number, 1-800-670-310. Let's get on with this. You're with Chris Smith, broadcasting live on the Global News Talk Network. This is TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, when it comes to pandemic justice, the various state Supreme Courts in Australia are nothing but a bizarre lucky dip. You'll recall how in February, the Queensland Supreme Court ruled that Queensland Police Commissioner's direction for mandatory COVID vaccination for officers was unlawful under the Human Rights Act. Gone. In Victoria, as we covered on the program on Monday, a leading police senior constable charged with failing to comply with his employer's COVID vaccination policy won his case as well, which of course sets a mighty precedent for others in a similar position in that state. But yesterday, a vaccine mandate challenge brought against the West Australian Police Commissioner was quashed by the Supreme Court. WA police officer Ben Falconer and police staff member Les Finlay, both unvaccinated, sought to challenge whether the commissioner had the authority to infringe on employees' bodily integrity. However, as Rebecca Barnett reported overnight, the Supreme Court found that the directive was valid and lawful. Talk about a dog's breakfast. It's virtually a lucky dip made up of various decisions depending on which state you're in and what judge you tend to be lumbered with. And that shouldn't be the way justice works, but that's how it's playing out across Australia. But if you think yesterday's decision in WA was rough, considering the decisions in Queensland and Victoria, it's not half as bad as what's been ruled this week in New Zealand. Now, we've been talking about our right in Australia to freedom of speech. That's almost every day in the last 3 weeks. Well, the Kiwis have just as much reason to kick up a stink. What's happening in New Zealand still is the punishment of people for daring to criticise COVID jabs. Can you believe this? These are the same COVID jabs that yesterday we were told by AstraZeneca itself caused blood clots and death. These are the same COVID jabs that, according to a comprehensive New Zealand study, ironically New Zealand study, led to cardiac side effects three times greater than what was clinically expected. However, a tribunal this week was told a New Zealand nurse she brought discredit to the profession, they said, for comments she made during an interview at a COVID-19 freedom demonstration in 2021. Not at work. She wasn't in a hospital, she wasn't at work, she wasn't representing the government, but her comments were told to a reporter at a protest rally. This is communist-like justice. At the rally, attended by those who opposed vaccine mandates, they opposed lockdowns and were sceptical about the efficacy of vaccines, Nurse Deborah Elizabeth Green commented about the segregation of unvaccinated people at her hospital. She also said vaccine-damaged patients had been admitted and that staff were blind to jab side effects. In fact, as has since been clearly proven, Green said, it's all cardiac, 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 short of breath, collapses, falls, and I just can say this is adverse reaction, adverse reaction. She was actually ahead of her time with those observations. She went on to say, I guarantee a hospital is full of vaccine damaged. It's just people were blind. People just cannot see it. Now, the Nursing Council received 7 complaints over Green's appearance in the video. And they were accused, and she was accused of spreading misinformation and causing public harm. Really? Christchurch Hospital terminated her employment in November 2021 after Ms. Green refused to get vaccinated. Her defence all along has been that what she said regarding vaccine injuries, adverse reactions, and how they were being treated by health professionals at the time was truthful. She did concede, though, that her claims were hyperbolic, and she apologised for that hyperbole. Hyperbolic isn't exaggerating an argument a normal way of making a forceful point? You exaggerate to make your point. It is a protest rally where all kinds of hyperbole is used to express a strongly held view. But the tribunal found Green's comments were misleading and her conduct carried a significant likelihood of undermining the public trust and confidence in both the public health response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the nursing profession. It was virtually a vox pop on the roadway at a protest. And therein lies the root cause of this gross and undemocratic injustice which prevailed throughout the pandemic. If the government's narrative was not adhered to, well, we know what happened. You were sacked or cancelled or still you're punished in New Zealand, despite what we now know to be true about these experimental vaccines. The same punishments are still being dished out for the same expressions of freedom of speech in 2024. How dare that nurse question the government's shonky vaccination rollout? Nurse Deborah Green was suspended from nursing for 3 months by this tribunal. She was ordered to pay $18,000. And for the next 12 months, listen to this, it's almost like a hall of shame. She must let prospective employers know, doesn't matter where she works, about the tribunal's findings, just in case they don't do their own due diligence. Have we not learned any lessons from the draconian way our government's steamrolled its populations and forced them to take COVID jabs? We've learned nothing. Governments, conned by Big Pharma, denied billions of people basic human rights. They locked up populations like diseased animals, and they took away our freedom of speech. We were cancelled. We lost our accounts on social media. What makes it worse is that some jurisdictions, like in New Zealand, are still doing the same thing this very day. This is TNT Radio.
Johnny Vedmore, TNT.
It doesn't matter what you think about the Jewish people. If you don't agree with the IDF murdering women and children, then you are an anti-Semite, of course. This is an extremely dangerous game. Once upon a time, that word actually meant something quite powerful. Actually, it caused people to lose their jobs. It led to politicians losing elections. It led to people's lives being ruined, and sometimes even led to jail terms. Now, it leads to people saying, get lost. There is only a certain amount of times that you can accuse people of being something they're not, and in this situation, those times have definitely passed.
Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk. TNT.
The light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
Plug in.
Website
TNTradio.live.
Check it out.
Today's News Talk Radio.
It's the coolest.
TNT.
Well, as I said at the start of the program, the Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has announced a $925 million package, which will be allocated from the upcoming budget to support women to leave violence in the home. It will permanently establish the Leaving Violence Program, So those escaping violence can receive up to $5,000 in financial support, along with referral services, risk assessments, and safety planning. Now, I can see the good and bad in all of this, but let's get to our communications expert, founder and director of Verve Communications, former TV and radio host, former contestant on the television show Celebrity Apprentice, Prue McSween. Welcome back to TNT.
Thanks, Smithy. Nice to be here.
Good to have you with us. Now, this sounds fairly drastic, and it does require some drastic measures because we know that violence towards women, especially in the home, has skyrocketed in the last 18 months. They are the worst figures in terms of violence against women on record. Now, $5,000 in financial support, that sounds terrific, but I'm thinking about how this is going to roll out practically. So woman is assaulted for some reason, and say it's a Friday night, she wakes up Saturday morning. She can't do anything about contacting government on a Saturday morning, presumably. By Monday, she makes an application for this. How long, I wonder, would it take before it's assessed? How long, I wonder, before she gets access to the money? How does she get access to the money if she doesn't have her own account? And in that period of time, if the old man, the brute, finds out that she's decided to get hold of this money and possibly leave him, does she put herself more in danger? I can see the good and bad.
So can I, Smithy? I mean, in practical terms, I just don't know how it's going to work. The problem is, and in fact, whenever I give speeches where there's groups of young women, I always say, always have a private, secret account. It's like your FU account. Yep. So that if you get in a situation where the man is controlling, or your partner, can be a female partner as well, couldn't it? Who is controlling you economically as well as every other way, you have an escape opportunity. But the problem is, in this instance, as you say, with the bureaucracy that would be tied up with this, how quickly could they access it? And when you've got little children in tow, and, you know, this is a problem. I've worked with a lot of these women's refuges, and they just don't have the funding. They have to turn away women because there aren't enough of them. It's one thing for them to be able to say, yes, I have the economic means to escape this bastard, but where can I go? Where can I be housed? I mean, you can go to a motel for a brief period of time, but we don't have the infrastructure in place. This is very much a response idea, and I'm not knocking, I think anything we can do to help these poor women important. Yeah. But I just think it's a fast-tracked Band-Aid solution, and it's not looking at the prevention side of the equation as well. Why are so many men, and we know that there are women who bash men and who are just as violent in domestic situations, but the proportionality is favouring more towards the man who is perpetrating this. And you have to ask, why are men so angry? Why are they resorting to alcohol or drugs, abuse, whatever it is, and they take it out on their partner? Clearly, when people bully, it's because they have such low self-esteem and it makes them feel better. But why is it that so many men, is feminism partly to blame? Do men not know their roles in society anymore? Do they feel like they can't be men, and whatever that is? But also, are there not enough male influences in kids' lives anymore, yeah, particularly young boys' lives, you know, where you have this terrible situation where they don't have any role models? And then, of course, we have the woke brigade. You can't discipline your kids. You can't say, you know, do not punch your sister or you are going to get a wallop as well, or whatever it may be. Now, I know that sociologists would say you shouldn't be hitting violence with violence, or, you know, but the point is, what I'm saying is that there's not the parameters for parents to discipline their kids. The family breakdown is there, where people don't sit around the dining room table and talk to their kids and teach respect and talk through things. We have so many barriers to affecting change. But look, yeah, it's a start. It's great that they're addressing it. They were sort of pushed into it. We've had Royal commissions, there was over $1 billion in a royal commission that Victoria did that had 200 and something recommendations, and they said that they were all responded to, but there's been no change. There's still been incredibly high domestic violence statistics in Victoria, and it was supposed to be a national program. But
I tell you what, one of the more obvious answers to this, I thought, came from the New South Wales Liberal opposition when they were talking about the idea that those with convictions for domestic violence, those who had already proven to breach apprehended violence orders, if they were accused of a similar offence, they should be able to be monitored either through an ankle bracelet straight away without questions asked. Now, if these are allegations that emerge out of nowhere against someone that doesn't have a conviction, that doesn't have, you know, predilection to breach apprehended violence orders, I think that would be quite unfair. It would be an overreach. But I think if you've got form for this kind of stuff, I think it's worth considering. And what I want to do today, now that we've discussed this issue, I want to hear from our listeners and our viewers right now on this issue. Now, what we've done, we've put together another survey through the good people at For My Say. That's numeral 4, MYSAY, numeral 4, MYSAY. You've got to download the app to vote. Just go to your app store and download the app. It's really simple and quick to do. And once you open the app, you'll see that the question is there for you to vote on. Now, the question is, should individuals with convictions for domestic violence or breaching apprehended violence orders be forced to wear monitoring devices if accused again? Now, you know what I think about this. I think that this is a no-brainer. You may have a different view. You may think, well, hang on a minute. These are only accusations. They haven't been proven. You've got three options for that question. Yes, no, or unsure. Yes, no, or unsure. You've got about 60 minutes. We'll keep it going just after 4:30. So you've got about an hour and 10 minutes to vote, to lodge your vote through until about 4:30. We'll give you the results before I clock off at 5, but you've just got to go and download the app if you haven't done so already, and that's numeral 4, For My Say, MYSAY. Download the app. You can vote, and I'd be really, really interested to hear what you think just from voting on the For My Say survey line. That question again, should individuals with convictions for domestic violence or breaching apprehended violence orders be forced to wear monitoring devices if accused again? And you've got three options there. So For My Say, our another survey today. Let's get back to you, Prue. I must say, going back on what happened on Sunday in Canberra when Anthony Albanese made a bit of a goog of himself on stage and he was accused of being a liar by one of the rally organisers there. It was all very ugly, and I couldn't understand how it got so ugly. But he was asked about this today by Sky's Andrew Clennell, and Andrew was at his annoying best with the Prime Minister. Have a listen.
You've copped a bit of flak since Sunday's protest about the way you approached that. You said, have a look at the tape, everyone could see what was said. Well, what was said was, do you want me to speak or not? I'm the Prime Minister. Could you have handled that interaction a bit better in retrospect?
Oh, look, it is. You've put that, you haven't put what was said beforehand, which is I was asked to have discussions with people unknown about whether it was appropriate, whether we would be speaking or not. I responded to that. I mean, I was happy to speak, happy to not speak. I think the video before then as well clearly indicates what the view was over whether that was appropriate or not. I think today...
Well, that show, excuse my ignorance.
Well, you can look at it. You work at Sky. Everyone can look at it. Look, one of the things I'm determined to do here, this is a really serious issue. We're talking about a woman dying at the hands of their partner every 4 days. And I have no interest in this. This isn't about me.
He had to have a crack at Andrew Fennell because he works at Sky. But I want to ask you something unrelated to what occurred after that point. I got the feeling, even before he was called a liar, Prue, that he was being harangued, he was being booed, he was being loudly heckled. You can see it on the tape well before he got into trouble or in any strife on there. And even when he was called up to the stage, it was such, you know, calling it a lukewarm response is generous. There's a feeling out there where they don't have faith in this bloke anymore.
No, he's lost it. And, you know, he's tone deaf, and it was grandstanding and opportunism. You know, he wanted to be there and he took Mean Girl Gallagher with him. And, you know, then when he, whether he was asked to speak, decided he was going to speak because he's Prime Minister, he was just talking the usual garbage. You know, it was, this was an angry mob of frustrated, hurt young people, a lot of young people and older people, men and women, who wanted to hear what was going to be done in a practical sense. They weren't listening. They weren't interested in a politician coming there and grandstanding and talking babble again. It was, we should be, we are, you know, what the bloody hell have you been doing then for 2 years if you were that concerned about it? And this is why I think they turned on him. He was totally misunderstanding, misreading the level of angst and anger about what has gone on, and this hand-wringing and all, you know, it was just so badly done on his part. Whoever advises that man, he wasn't listening. And then when he saw the organiser, Sarah, so upset, Gallagher, he didn't go over and apologise or give her a hug. He did. He just looked at her as like a like she was a museum piece of what was going on here. You know, he had no empathy. And he just lost so many people. He was an opportunist, and it really backfired on him.
Mm, it did. And what happened beforehand was really telling. He's got to the stage, and this is telling for any prime minister, he's got to the stage that if he turned up to a major sporting event with a crowd of 25,000 people, it would be awfully embarrassing for him. And that, to me, is the sign of an outgoing prime minister in the eyes of the electorate. I want to take a quick break and we'll get some news for our viewers. We'll do that very quickly. Come back with Prue McSween right here on TNT.
We interrupt this program.
Here we go.
This is huge,
huge, huge news.
Huge,
huge,
huge
news.
Huge.
You need to listen to this.
Now, TNT Radio
Matt
News.
Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Police in riot gear have stormed Columbia University in New York after protesters there smashed their way into a campus building and barricaded themselves inside. US President Joe Biden is reportedly considering offering Palestinians who've escaped the war in Gaza a permanent home in the United States. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to push on with his invasion of Gaza's southernmost city of Rafah, regardless of whether Hamas accepts its latest deal.
My baby's back from the West Coast.
Hear those pictures that you asked for your school project? First day of school, cute as a button.
So long ago.
Oh, here's Grandma Florence after that flood wiped out the whole neighborhood.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy.
Those beans smell heavenly.
Mm-hmm. Give Mom a little credit.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
Oh, great
idea.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
I'm coming to share with you guys.
Protect your legacy. Plan for natural disasters today. Visit ready.gov/plan.
I said, could she die? And the doctor said she could. It was so scary.
When I started clawing at my neck and trying to breathe, and I thought, you know, what are we going to do if I die here? How's everyone going to go on?
When someone's gravely sick or injured in the bush, they rely on the Royal Flying Doctor Service.
But now the Flying Doctor needs your help to fund vital medical equipment and supplies. Please search Flying Doctor online to give a regular gift of just $10. You can help equip the Flying Doctor's teams to respond to any emergency anywhere. Search Flying Doctor online. Become a part of the Royal Flying Doctor Service and help save lives in the bush.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Running parallel to our discussions on DV is a lot of conversation on our chat box, which you can find at tntradio.live. And Scoose86 says they're listening from Perth, WA. We welcome you on board. Good to have you with us right here at TNT. Let's get back now to what we're doing with our survey today, which we run each and every Wednesday. It's a domestic violence-related survey today, courtesy of the people from For My Say. You've got to download the app to vote. Doesn't take much at all. Very simple. Just look for numeral 4, M-Y-S-A-Y. So type that in your app box for your Apple app or your Play Store, and all you've got to do, that'll come up straight away. You'll download it. Takes about 10 seconds. It's very quick, and then you'll find the question for today's survey. Should individuals with convictions for domestic violence or breaching apprehended violence orders be forced to wear monitoring devices if accused again? So we're talking about previous offenders of domestic violence. Should we not keep an eye on where they go if they are accused of further breaches? I think it makes sense to me. You've got three options: yes, no, unsure. You've got about an hour to vote. You've got about 60 minutes to vote. So get in, and I'd like to see what we get out of this. It'll be interesting to see what you think of what is a measure suggested by the opposition, not the government, but it's come through earlier in the week, and I think it's worth considering. I'll give you the results of that before I clock off at 5 p.m. Let's get back to Prue McSween. I want to talk about knife crime now, Prue. Another major story, because each and every day we're seeing some evidence of either knife possession or knife crime. The New South Wales Labor Police Minister is very cautious about changes to knife laws. Now, there's a Queensland approach that has been dumped on his desk or her desk, and it's being proposed, which would allow police to use metal detectors to search people without a warrant. So in other words, anywhere, at any time, they can walk up to you and say, stop what you're doing. I've got to put a metal detector over your body. I want to see whether you're carrying a knife. Now, there are concerns about racial profiling and breach of liberties. I'm not sure we need to go this far. I would have thought, though, that there are lessons out of places like Singapore and Malaysia that we could probably borrow. For the possession of a knife, there is a minimum mandatory jail sentence. We're not that tough in this country. We could do more, couldn't we?
Well, we could, Smithy. I actually am supportive of that wand. You know, I think that it's worked really well in Queensland at Jack's Law, where they can just wave it over people, and they, if they have a keys in their pocket, whatever it may be, they just produce this and off they go. But they've caught so many knives, hundreds of knives. So why wouldn't we be doing everything we can? I mean, we're used to now being scanned when we go through airports and things. I don't have a problem. I think if you are, and I'm quite happy for them to do it to everybody. You know, I know that Yasmin Catley, who's very into, you know, her influence with the Greens, etc. She's the police minister in New South Wales, who's, you know, been very reticent about supporting this law. But I just think if you've got nothing to hide, why are you worried about a cop just waving a wand over you? I don't see it as an issue. And if it means that we're saving lives, then I'm all for it, because knives are now the scourge of society, and I just really feel we've been through enough. And
I think you've got to target suspects, don't you? You've got to look that if people are out and about after 10 o'clock at night, after closing time, I think police should have a right and an open warrant to go in search of those who are possessing knives. But if I'm walking down the street after this program today and I go past a group of police officers, I don't want them in my face. I don't want them wanding me and looking for a knife.
Well, I get that. I don't think you probably would be a usual suspect. I'm thinking more of groups of people, young kids who are out and about who, you know, you just think, well, I'm going to do this, or even on trains and things like that. I don't think Joe Citizen is likely to be intersected or, you know, experience that. But I just feel like I would rather put her on the safety side of things and protect people. And okay, these days, you know, I could have been one of those women in Westfield. I go there all the time, Westfield Bondi Junction. And it was only that I happened to be away. I could have easily been there. And, you know, to now know that there could be a peace of mind that, you know, people have to go through some sort of a scan. Maybe don't give it to police. Put scanners in to doorways. And as people walk through, like they do if you're, you know, potentially going to be a shoplifter or something, you could be innocently scanned. And if you go off, well, then people are going to pat you down.
Okay. If you want to comment on that, please be part of the conversation. Jump on our talkback lines from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. Would you like to see something so open-ended introduced as far as a power is concerned in the hands of New South Wales Police? Give us a call. Well, the penny has finally dropped in terms of energy for the Labor government. They've obviously done some sums and realised that all their plans for net zero are up the creek already. But they've been so stupid over about 15 years, Prue, demonising gas, treating gas as the kind of commodity, a fossil fuel similar to coal. Well, it's not similar in terms of carbon dioxide emission. As the AFR reports today, Climate Change Minister Chris Bowen now concedes gas is needed. This is how ad hoc and fake his energy plans are. He's got no effing idea, this bloke.
He really doesn't. I mean, he is a total buffoon. How could we trust anything that came out of the bloke's mouth? He's an imbecile. And, you know, when you think that there was never a plan, he was wooed by, who knows, the industry, the potential subsidy recipients, you know, climate change was his mantra. He was going to be the kingpin and leading us, you know, leading us into the new world. And, of course, what he's done is realised, oh, my God, it's not far away. And, you know, I haven't got my act together and we ain't going to be in any position to not keep us in the dark. Let's face it, we're all going to be safe, suffering from, you know, lack of supply. This cost is going through the roof and continuing to go through the roof. I mean, the man has no idea. And even that idiot, Matt Keane, who, the former New South Wales Energy, I mean, he still is saying that there's no need for gas. Oh. I mean, he was responding to Bowen's, you know, retraction. And you think, you idiots, you know, they're just, I don't know what Kool-Aid they've drunk, but they have no idea. But, you know, Labor's trying to attract foreign investment here. Who the hell would set up manufacturing in this country with the energy costs that we have here?
Not a chance.
The industrial relations costs that we have here. They're just on another planet.
No, and this is why there is no faith in Australia, because all of a sudden, one moment, the Labor Party says, we don't need gas. We'll shut down gas when we shut down coal. Next minute, they realise, well, hang on a minute, we're blowing up coal-fired power stations. Well, I'm sorry, but windmills and solar panels don't cut it. So how are we going to keep baseload power increasing, which is what they've got to do, not supply the current level of baseload power. They've got to increase it. There are some estimates about in the space of 10 years, we need 4 to 6 times more baseload power. Yeah. It's not going to come from windmills or solar panels. So they've realised, well, gas is the lesser of the two so-called evils, if you think CO2 is an evil. And so therefore, they've had a change of heart. No wonder no one invests in Australia, because we're so dumb and backward proof.
Yeah. You know, talk about renewables. They're all piss and wind, that mob. You know, Labor hasn't got a clue about energy and not much of anything else. You know, they are big on ideology and grand gestures, and they have no idea of what it takes to run a business. You know, or run a country, let's face it. They just think that they're play acting. You can see it with them, you know, that they...
And it's like playing a game of pin the tail on the donkey. It's like saying, okay, Now we're going to get rid of coal. Well, we'll be right to supply baseload power because we're increasing solar panels and wind farms. Like, you've got to do a scientific paper that says, how are you going to keep the levels of gigahertz operating or whatever the measurement is? You've got to be able to do a decent scientific paper that says, oh, get rid of coal, what's replacing it? At what stage, when that coal-fired power goes down at Latrobe, what will be the level of energy being produced by a solar panel? That's how you do it. You do it properly. You don't say, we'll get rid of coal, we'll blow up coal-fired power stations, and you watch. If we cross our fingers really tight and pray a lot on Sunday, we'll end up supplying the same baseload power. That's what they're asking us to do.
Exactly. And meanwhile, dialing up millions of our money to subsidise businesses who must be laughing, you know, you know, government handing them chunks of money to invest and, you know, making billionaires even richer. It's just insanity, absolute insanity.
It is. A former immigration detainee accused of violently assaulting a couple during a home invasion in Perth, and the vision of her speaking on A Current Affair last night was just atrocious. Had his ankle monitor removed following advice from the Albanese government's board of experts in March. Every one of them should be sacked yesterday. Yes. This is despite being accused of curfew breaches and other state offences. So what happens is you come over here as a criminal, you get let out because of bumbling inefficiency by government, you're not prepared for it, so you're allowed to go out into the open, because that's what we do with Australia, we're such a beautiful soft touch, and then when you breach your reporting conditions, you just are let go again. You might even get a really, really hard smack on the middle finger, and we keep going until someone almost dies. Prue, it's just bullshit.
It is totally, Smithy. You know, it's a masterclass in incompetence by this government, O'Neill, and, of course, that idiot Giles.
They should be sacked.
Guileless Giles. I mean, they should be sacked, and they lied. O'Neill said that they had not, opposed bail. Well, they haven't. It came out that she lied. They did not oppose that bloke's bail, and three times he was given bail. He had no ankle monitor. And she tried to blame the states when it was her own mob, her department responsible for
panel of experts,
Community Protection Board, the experts who, you know, allowed this to happen. So, you know, they're totally incompetent. Albanese cannot afford to sack them because, you know, it's admitting that they've been total cock-ups. But meanwhile, I just hope that older lady and her husband sue the pants off the government. Yeah. And let's just hope that the opposition use that as the poster child for the next election, because there it is in front of us. This is the incompetence, the crap peddled by this government and the ineptitude. And, you know, it's just they've let us down on so many fronts and this whole debacle. Meanwhile, they've opened the doors. Hundreds of thousands of migrants are coming in here. We are in so much trouble where the inflation levels are so high, domestic inflation levels are so high. We are all terrified about how we're going to pay our bills, how we're going to put food on the table. And this government is peddling all this other ideology crap. We don't care about it. No. We just want you to tell us how you're going to get us out of this hole where we cannot afford we can't find a place to rent. We cannot pay the rent.
No.
We cannot pay our mortgages. We can't drive our cars because you're ripping us off at the petrol tank. This is day-to-day survival where we're living.
Yeah.
And they have no idea. These people who drive around in comp cars, who are fated, go out to five-star restaurants for meals, they wouldn't have a bloody clue.
No.
What we're all going through.
No, they're going to be careful. They're going to get baseball bats to the head when it comes to the ballot box if they're not careful. And the Prime Minister said today about this schmozzle, he said he wanted the government to urgently make court applications to lock up the worst offenders who were released. He should have done that 3 months ago.
Too little, mate. Too late. Unbelievable. I mean, the lights are just coming on. They're only doing it to save their bacon because they know that the others are going to be reoffending too. Look, it's just, it's like comedy capers. If you saw it in, you know how Seinfeld was saying comedy's dead? Just watch this government. You can get a laugh if it wasn't so serious.
Spot on. That's exactly terrifying. Right. Exactly. Terrifying big time. Who's the next victim? There will be one. Okay, good to have you on the program as usual, Prue. Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, Smithy. You too.
Good to have her with us from Verve Communications, Prue McSween. If you've got a view on any of this, if you're as mad as I am about it, dig in because they deserve it and then some. Give us a call on the Australian New Zealand number, 1-800-670-310. It is an outrage that this was allowed to happen. And then today at the press conference, I almost fell over when the Prime Minister says, oh, we should make application to the court urgently to have the rest of them monitored or put back. This should have happened in February when they were first let out. Total and utter incompetence. And where is Peter Dutton yelling this out from the rooftops and telling us all, telling Australia, hang on, wake up. You've got a government that wouldn't know how to run a fate, let alone a Home Affairs office. Just awful. Let's take a break. This is Chris Smith on TNT.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like Latoya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
Latoya Lucas, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
I tell my son, I love you every single day.
I love you.
And my dad has never said that to me. Not because he doesn't love me, but because culturally it wasn't comfortable for him. Now that he's a grandfather, he says, I love you to my son every time he sees him. My advice to all the fathers out there, forget the cultural restrictions. They grow up way too fast for you to waste even a single precious moment.
This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, voting is open right now. Have you downloaded the app? I hope you have. All you got to do is go to your app store and download For My Say. For My Say. That is numeral 4, M-Y-S-A-Y. Numeral 4, not F, numeral 4, M-Y-S-A-Y. Download that particular app. Very simple to do. It'll take you seconds. And follow the prompts, and then once you've downloaded it, you'll see the question. And the question today is, should individuals with convictions for domestic violence or breaching apprehended violence orders be forced to wear monitoring devices if accused again? Now, in light of the big announcement today by the Labor government over DV loans for women who wanted to get away from a violent relationship at home, all of these measures need to be considered. It can't just be solved by one particular fund. And I've got grave doubts about whether this fund will be instantly available when victims of domestic violence need it. Like, you think about how long it's taken DVA to deliver money to veterans who we cherish. Years, years to get their compensation, money that's owed to them. One of the reasons why so many of them have killed themselves. We heard that in the Royal Commission. And you're saying that you're going to be able to work out who deserves 1,000, 2,000, 3, 4, 5 quickly as she's being bashed on the weekend. You're going to work that out how? You can't turn up to the house and ask the old man. He's probably doing the bashing. This all sounds good. And a lot of groups are going to say, fantastic. I would have thought a lot more money should have been delivered into creating these halfway houses. We don't have enough. You ask any rape crisis expert or anyone in the DV area, and they say there just aren't enough facilities for women to flee to and find refuge. We need more well-equipped, secure refuges right around our capital cities and even in the bush. There's money that could have been well spent. It's all well and good to say, oh, we've just come up with a handout. Like, you know, the handout mentality is so Labor, it's not funny. Handout, handout, handout. Anyway, you may want to vote on that from For My Say. For MYSAY. Let's go to Dan, who's waiting on our talkback lines. Dan, go right ahead.
Chris, on the protecting women,
yep.
I want to point out the hypocrisy of the government. This might sound like a bit of a stretch, but bear with me. With the excess deaths from COVID that they're covering up, at least half of those are going to be women, Chris. So we got tens of thousands of dead women. They're talking about 30 dead from domestic violence. And we got tens of thousands of Australian women dead from this vaccine. And
well, we don't know whether it's entirely due to the vaccine, but, you know, I'd like to put my house on the fact that if we came to the realisation that we had to look into this properly, we would find that a large percentage of those totals were attributable to side effects from the vaccine. I'm with you.
Yeah, and massive reproductive harm to women's health, okay, to their sexual health, their, like, miscarriages, early menopause, menstrual problems, and the government's still recommending this to little girls. Naomi Wolf this week on Twitter, there's some data came out from Canada, from Ontario.
Yeah, I saw that data. You explained it to my viewers, though, that it's worth explaining.
So there's an article in the Daily Clout, 27th of April, and the researcher looked at the coding for medical events in Ontario. And a whole bunch, say a miscarriage will have a coding, and a whole bunch of these events, they've more than doubled since 2021, Chris.
Yeah.
And when they extrapolate this out, we're talking hundreds of thousands of medical events for women in Canada.
And it would affecting, be the same affecting the demographic that we were all told would not be impacted at all.
And how can they still be recommending this to little girls and pretending that they're protecting women and girls?
Just amazing. Like we cry real tears for 30 dead women, as we should, but when it's dozens more and it's got something to do with vaccination, we can't talk about it.
It's thousands more. And ongoing harm, and they're still trying to push this in a little five-year-old girl, knowing that it's going to hurt them.
Yeah. It's about political correctness. That's what it is. Political correctness. Good to get you on, Dan. Thank you very much for your comments.
Cheers.
Cheers to you as well. We're going to catch up with Alex Zaharoff-Reut next hour. Plenty to talk about in the area of tech and cyber today. Plenty indeed. This is interesting. This has come from Autone. Smitty, when do you think we will get an opposition government, that is an opposition party, that is fair dinkum? Dutton's okay, but seriously, not one is saying out of the WHO or all the globalist nonsense. When will one conservative politician do so? Dutton, he could kick so many goals, but zero in the testitude fortitude department. Well, where is he today getting stuck into this? Now, I might have missed it. Look, I apologise to Peter Dutton right now if I've missed a press conference while I've been on air. But where's the noise? He's got to make noise about things that matter and should matter. He's got to alert the public when things are gone wrong. That's the duty of the opposition leader. Just in terms of violence, here's an update for you. Fox Sports co-host and Daily Telegraph journalist Paul Kent has been charged with a fray over a street fight in Sydney's inner west on Saturday night. In a statement released on Wednesday, New South Wales police said it had charged a 54-year-old man in relation to the brawl. The identity had clashed with another man outside a restaurant in Sydney's inner west. The criminal charge for a fray is more serious than common assault and has a maximum jail sentence of 10 years. Well, he won't get jail, and I doubt whether he'll be banned from News Corp forever. When you're part of the furniture in News Corp, when you're part of the culture, you very rarely get punted. Let me tell you. It's only when you're not part of the culture that you do get punted. Plenty more to come. I want to talk to Dr. Reuben Kirkham, who's from the Free Speech Union in Australia. And this fellow is behind some really good projects at the moment, trying to push campaigns for free speech in this country. And I don't think we've had a moment in Australia's history where free speech has been more important, where free speech has been something we should be campaigning on behalf of. We don't have the First Amendment. We should have a Bill of Rights. We should have a Bill of Rights where we would therefore focus on the importance of free speech, but we don't. We have elected to go down a censorship track in Australia, like a communist country, as opposed to a transparency track. And it's wrong. And it's the likes of Mr. Dr. Kirkham, who we should be supporting because he is fighting the good fight. We'll take a break and we'll go to news and come back after the news with a lot more right here on TNT.